Welcome to Flawed and Free Podcast. This is the place where we save souls and set the captives free from spiritual bondage in deliverance and spiritual warfare. My name is Apostle Tina, and our mission is to help you win the warfare in your life by equipping you to sever spiritual strongholds, break generational curses, and find freedom from your now to your next. Join our community of freedom fighters through transparency to transformation in Christ Jesus. Make sure you go now, like, subscribe, and share. God bless. Good morning. Good morning. Men and women of God, hallelujah. Listen, I'm excited to be here today. I'm always excited to be in the house of the Lord, to fellowship with the people of God. And so I know people say, I don't go to church. I don't want to go to church. There's something about coming together corporately. Yes, we enjoy God and we pray and we get in our closets and we enjoy being with him, but it is something when you get in a room with other like-minded believers. As you praise and pray, it's just a strength that comes into the room as we come together and fellowship in him. And so it is very important that as a body that we come together to fellowship, that we come to fellowship as we get the word of God and God pours into us and we pour back out to our sisters and all of those that are around. Some of us been a tough week. We like, Lord Jesus, I need to see somebody other than the people at my job and these kids in this house and these pots on this stove. And so it's good sometimes to just break away and just to bask in his presence. So this is definitely a house that's committed to being able to allow the presence of God to move, the power of the Holy Spirit to move. And so no service will be the same. No service will be the same because it depends on what the people in the room need. Depends on how God is moving. And so we may have an agenda for, you know, giving and all of those things, but we don't know what God is going to desire or ask of us, and we're going to yield to that. So we may spend 4 or 5 hours in worship. If God said, nah, this is what y'all going to do. Y'all going to worship for 4 hours. That's what we're going to do. Right? If God says, lay hands, we're going to lay hands. God say, it's a day of deliverance. We're going to be casting out demons. Whatever it is, we just need to yield and allow the Holy Spirit to have his way completely. Sometimes we think we know what we need, but we don't. We think we know, but we don't. He knows better than we know. So yielding to what he has designed and predestined and desired for us is the most important thing for us to do. And it's something that I'm very, very serious about in training and equipping and leading leaders, the leaders of tomorrow. So I'm excited. If somebody will hand me our declaration and decree, I'm going to read it out loud till we get our visuals. We still waiting on some stuff to come. So we can get some visuals for y'all. For now, we're going to use our trifold brochure, and we're going to prophetically declare and decree the mission and vision of this house at Flawed and Free. So let's start with the prophetic declaration, and then we'll go here to the back to the prophetic decree. And so the declaration, we'll go ahead and start, says, we deliver, all together, aloud, please. We deliver, disciple, and take dominion. We build people, and our goals are souls. We legislate heaven's will on earth. We restore families, revive communities, and expand globally. We walk in freedom, wholeness, and kingdom authority. We are flawed but free indeed. Let's go to the prophetic decree. They're on the back. We decree and declare Flawed and Free Church as a global apostolic prophetic hub, breaking generational bondage, healing families, equipping leaders, and advancing the kingdom of God with power and authority. From local to global, we release revival, restoration, and reformation. Glory be to God. We must continue to commune as a community, to continue to align God's vision with the vision of this house. So whether you're new or whether you're someone who frequents or listens or follows us that we all are on one accord. We're all one unit, one man, one band, one sound. We know why we're here and what we're doing it for. That as we break the back of religion, especially in this region and beyond this region, a lot of traditional cultural things that we would do just because we did it, because we were told to do it, but not knowing the where, the when, the why that we did. And so that will always be something that we must continue to give language to. And sometimes we have to, through repetition, right? It may be something we have to repeat over and over, but it's so it will stick to our memory. So it'll be something that becomes nothing that we even have to look at this paper anymore, look at the visuals behind us, you know, when we get them. But it'll be something that's so ingrained in our heart that we not only walk it, but we talk it. See, that's the problem right now. We got a lot of people talking, but ain't walking, right? A lot of gums flapping, a lot of stuff, but ain't nothing moving. Ain't nothing shaking, ain't nothing moving, ain't nothing. We just standing talking, and there's no fruit behind it. There's no movement. There's no manifestation of God. And in this dispensation that we are in right now, there is a changing of guards taking place. There are many of us that have been hidden for years, and this ministry is one of them, right, that have been hidden in our closets and raised up, and God is pushing a lot of us out, not just this ministry, but others like this ministry even, all throughout the world. And people are preparing and rebuilding altars from the secret place, right? They're tearing down the old, and they're building up the new in preparation for revival. So revival is upon us. It is upon us. The Great Awakening is here. And so we see many, the millennials, the Gen Zs, they want Jesus. They want Jesus. They don't want the fake. They want the real. Give it to me raw. Give it to me real all the way. I want it the way it come out that Bible, and I want it the way that I'm supposed to see it. And so that's kind of where we are right now, even as I have a lot of millennials and Gen Zs that are connected to this ministry that have the pure posture of the Holy Spirit. And so that's what we want in the earth. That's what God designs. That's what he wants. And so we started a message last week talking about doors and portals and gates of spiritual warfare. And a lot of us are not able to defeat and dethrone the enemy because we don't really know how to align the word of God and to tangibly see the word alive today in our lives. And so it's not just something you read, and it's not just something that's historical in nature, that the God who was, who is, and is to come is here. And so if you don't know that the King of Glory is in the room, how can you expect to receive from the King of Glory? If you don't even know what that feels like or how to seek God and to see him move in your life. And so even Matthew 7:7 says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be open. And so we read scriptures like this and we skip past them, right? We skip past them, but not understanding that there's revelational wisdom and knowledge, and even how you can participate and become a participant with the Holy Spirit to open those doors. Yeah, you can read the scripture, but what does that look like tangibly in your life? Like, what does that look like for me when I need a door to open or when I need one to shut? Like, how do I speak to that? How do I give language to this word so this word becomes alive and I can actually see the manifestation of what I've said and what God has said? We said the word doesn't return back to us void, and the word is active and it's mobile and there's movement in the word. And so we have to not just exercise through Pharisaic behaviors where just through vain repetitions and prayers, we're just repeating prayers and we're just mimicking and copying and mirroring things that we hear, but that we're actually able to take that word, to eat it, right, and digest it and make it come alive, that it actually becomes the fuel to our day-to-day lives, not just on Sunday or for midweek Bible study, but that every day that we are eating on the bread of life, that we're eating and not just for sustenance, but that we're eating so that we can mature and grow and build ourselves up in our most holy faith. And the way that we do that is through prayer, through petitions. It's through reading and meditating on the Word of God. It's operating in faith and obedience. And this is how we see the tangible glory of God manifest itself in our day-to-day, that we're not just through rituals or routines signing up and showing up, but that we're actually participating and allowing the presence of God to change us, to transform us, and to transfigure us, right, into the new creature of Christ, into who we were predestined and called to be. And so there's been a disconnect. There's been a disconnect between what we say and what we do. And we've seen so much hypocritical type of movement in the body. And now it's time for us to take back those things that we've allowed around us to just be, oh, it just is what it is. It just is what it is. And so we were actually called to be change agents. We were actually called to shift atmospheres. It shouldn't be 6 months before your coworker knows that you are a child of God. They should know day one you are a child of God, because you coming in on day one shifting atmospheres. They should know when you in the grocery store getting your groceries and somebody trying to get their cart past you. You shouldn't be rolling your eyes and talking out the side of your neck to somebody. They should know that you are a believer and a follower of Christ, right? And so more of that is what we need in the earth. And so as the Lord has called me as a spiritual warfare strategist, as a daughter, as a son of God, as a woman of God, I'm a mother. I got a lot of titles, right? So I take one hat off and take another one off, but I don't live in my title. And I've come to find out and know that even those that are called to ministry or to the fivefold office, they've allowed their titles to make them entitled. And that's not okay. Right? So regardless of the function and or the anointing that God's commissioned or called upon your life, that doesn't make you entitled to people or have access to people. Right? And so as we divinely connect to people, as we divinely connect and to the places that God's sending us, right? Depending on where he's calling you to go, he might be uprooting you from a place. He might be removing, he might be aligning you in a place. It may be for a season. It may be for a short time. It may be for a length of time. But there's something there that God needs you to get, because it's connected to what you are, who you are, and where you're going. And so you can't just connect anywhere. You can't just go and befriend anyone. You can't just be anywhere because this is comfortable. My mama was raised in church. My cousin went to this church. If you're not getting anything from this, if you're not being poured into and God's not pouring out of you, then why are you there? Why are you there? If it is not feeding and edifying your body, your soul, your spirit, if you are not getting delivered, healed, and set free, if you are not, why are we? Because we want to run with majority. We want to run with what's popular. But God told us in the Word that the road is narrow. The road is narrow, so you're going to come to find out real quick, real soon, that most of what we know even to be God ain't God at all, not remotely. So when you are in a place, or God has put you or positioned you with maybe in a friendship or a partnership or some place that God is drawing you closer to him, and it don't look like what you know it to look like. It don't look like, but God's opening a door and he's like, this is where I want you to go. This is where I want you to be. You better take heed. You better take heed, because you don't know what's on the other side of that. You don't know, and you want to be obedient. You don't want to be caught and by counterfeits. You don't want, because that's what the devil will do, right? Like, that place too small. Ain't enough men at that church. I'm looking for a husband. You know, I'm looking for somebody to help me pay my bills. You know, they can't, you know, I don't know about that. Maybe when they get a little bigger, maybe I'll go and I'm just going to go over here. Some people honestly go to places because they don't want accountability. sing. They want to just slide into the last pew for 5 minutes, say hallelujah, throw their tithe in the back of the room and walk out, right? Check the box. I didn't did what I was supposed to do through works-based salvation. But there comes a time where God says you got to seek him. He said, seek me and you shall find. Why are we not being changed and transformed and renewed in our mind? Because we're not seeking God. That's why the door is not opening, because we're not knocking. We're standing in front of the door with the keys in our hand, and the door is not opening. And we're trying to figure out why we're stuck and stagnant and still in seasons, because we're not operating in the fullness of what the Word of God is saying. Right? That's a fool. He say, ask first, seek, then knock. So there's an actionable item even in the protocol in the door opening for your life. So you might have keys in your pocket. The keys might be in your purse, but who leaves the keys in their purse and in their pocket when they're trying to get in their house? Not me. Whenever I want to get in my house, I'm going to take the keys out my purse and I'm going to put the key in the door and the door will open. So you can stand outside of the door and hallaboo, and pray the door just swings open, but that's not how it works. That's not how it works. You have to be an active participant and partner with God for the doors that he is opening for you in your life. So I'm excited to continue and close out what we started last week, as we began to speak to doors and portals and gates. So as a reminder, I'm going to do a quick little recap of doors and what doors do and why we have them. So today we continue to unlock the mystery behind the doors, the portals, and the gates of heaven, so that you can see the manifestation of God's word be real and tangible in your life. And so though we know that there's doorways, windows, there's many different types of entrances and exits. And even in prayer, I utilize these in prayer, right? I speak to the windows, I speak to the doors, I speak to the hallways, I speak to the keys that I see God giving me by the spirit realm. And I say, God, whatever keys you got, I open the door with the keys that you have given me to doors to my destiny. And so when we're praying, it's like, well, how do we pray? What do we say, right? You want to open the door. You want to get to the other side. You want to cross over. So you want to utilize the word, and you want to seal the cracks and the crevices. You want to seal the areas in which the enemy can find to infiltrate your house and your home. Nobody wants insects and ants and geckos and lizards in their house, right? So sometimes some people call them geckos. But yeah, you don't want. So in order to keep things out, what do? You seal the entrance. So you should be sealing your home with the anointing of God. By the power of the blood of Jesus, you seal it with the anointing oil. You walk around your home and you bless your home. You anoint the windows and the threshold. You anoint that doorway so that the enemy cannot just step over and step in and step out when he get ready to, right? So you create barriers in the realm of the spirit so that the enemy can't, even while you laying and sleeping at night, he can't just come in there and slide in and have his way and make a sandwich and go on back outside, right? Like, this ain't the life we live in. So you have to learn how to, you got to ask God, okay, God, what doors are open? But not just the doors that are open in my life. What doors have I left cracked open? It look like they shut, but they not shut. So many of us have tricked our own selves and deceived ourselves, and we're trying to figure out why things are reoccurring in our life. And it's like, I thought I was delivered from this. I thought that door was shut. And come to find out, the door was not shut. Why? Because there was a crack left open. You got to deal with the cracks. You got to deal with the crevices. You got to deal with the crooks and the crannies. You got to deal with what I call the cobwebs in the corner. Listen, that spider that crawled up in the corner that you barely saw until it formed a web, and you didn't clean your house and cleaned your house. I hope y'all are catching what I'm saying. God's saying, get your house in order. God's saying, clean up your mind. God's saying, clean up your friendship circle. God's saying, clean out your closet. Get rid of some of them clothes you used to wear. That's not who you are anymore. This is a new season. So God is calling us to clean ourselves up so that we can have houses that are conducive to the infilling of the Holy Ghost, so that the Holy Ghost can dwell, so that our houses are clean. clean and found in order, but not just found in order and empty, but filled with the Holy Ghost. We want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. So as we begin to close these doors that we talked about last week, as we begin to ask God, okay, where's these cobwebs in the corner? As we begin to comb through, right, our minds, as we begin to comb through our past, as we begin to comb through some of those journals or some of those things that God told you 6 months ago, a year ago, God's resurrecting because now is the season. Now you're saying, okay, God, what's left? What do I need to do? What doors need to open up for me in this season? What doors need to close? And am I positioned? Am I ready? Have I sealed these areas with the blood of Jesus? Have I allowed the Holy Spirit to pour into this place? Now that I've cleaned it up and emptied it out, now that I've been delivered and set free, now what? Now what's the next steps? How do I allow the blessing and the breakthrough to come through in my life? And so you must learn that there's another part to moving into your next season. And these doors, these righteous doors, not just any door, because the enemy goes through the same doors. We read the scripture last week where it says that the adversary's on the other side. He's waiting. He's right. As the door is open, it's not just God on the other side. It's the enemy looking for you. And so as those doors open, we have to know how to governmentally speak to the door. Speak to the door. And so the kingdom of God is a government. It's not a religion, right? So even as worshipers and kingdom ambassadors, we're authorized to legislate heaven on earth, right? We are authorized to legislate that. And the authority of Christ that has been given to us through Romans 8 as a co-heir, God gave us that as sons of God. We received an inheritance from God for all that he is, all that he has. As we take dominion in the earth, we have the same capabilities and access that he has. And so because we are from another place, we're from heaven, we reside in heaven, we live in earth, but we reside in heaven. And in order to legislate the authority of Christ, we have to legislate from the heavens. So we're not looking up, we're actually looking down. And so we're like, God, help me. God, help me. God looking at you like, I need you to speak to the wind. I need you to speak to the, I need you to speak to your finances. I need you to speak to your children. And that's how the doors are open. But what do? We don't understand how to legislate our authority in the earth. And so we're begging and pleading and crying and calling out to God. God, help me. God, do this. God, do that. God, I wish you would do this. I wish you would do that. And God was like, I wish you would speak to this door. I wish you would take dominion. I wish you would use my, I wish you would stand on my word. I wish you would, right? That's what he wishing for. So there's a stillness and a place in which we get stuck in the midst of our movement. And so doors, portals, and gates are something that are utilized to give access in the realm of the spirit. And so they represent access points. And last week I spoke to even the gates, that whoever owns the gate owns the city. Who owns the gate of your heart? Is it God or is the enemy? Who are the gatekeepers in your life? Who are the accountability partners that you have that are watching or covering your soul or guarding and giving you wise counsel and advice and wisdom in a world where we want to live for self? We want self-help books. We want to empower ourselves. We want to do for ourselves in the feminist movement. And I don't need this and I don't need that and I don't need a man and I don't need, because I got all that I need because I'm independent. Do you know what that means? I'm independent. I got this. I got my own house. I got my own car. Can't nobody tell me nothing. I done already been there, done that. Got a t-shirt. No. That's pride talking. And that's Leviathan speaking. that will try to keep you siloed, that will try to keep you in a place that you're trying to pull yourself out of the pit. And God has already shown you someone or a place that has come to partner with you on your journey. But you know what? I don't trust people. I don't trust the church. I don't believe this. I don't believe that. I've been through this. The church has hurt me. This leader hurt me. This happened. That happened. I can't go back to that. So I'm just going to sit here, and the enemy going to sit there and knock you upside your head, broke, busted, and disgusted. You're going to be getting drugged up them spiritual streets trying to figure out why you cannot move, because you over here isolated. And the enemy would love nothing more than for you to be so prideful that you don't need a covering, you don't need a church, you don't need a community, you don't need a church, you don't need the Bible, you don't need the word. You know, I can just read the word and I can figure this out on my own. I say it all the time. I say, Jesus needed the Holy Ghost. Jesus himself needed the Holy Ghost. Before he was sent and was tempted in the mountain, right? He had to be led by the Spirit of God. On his 40-day fast. Why are you fasting without the Holy Ghost? Because you're fasting in ritualistic and religious tradition. That if I pray these prayers, if I read this Bible, if I do this 5 days a week, 3 times a day, and I do this and I do that, then the door will open unto me. I'm going to get my blessing because I have, through works, I have shown up. So God, you must show up for me. And then when he don't show up, because the Holy Spirit ain't there, he ain't told you to go where you going. And then you mad at God. Now you mad at God. Now you got an art with God, because I've been praying, I've been fasting, and my husband ain't come. I'm praying and I'm fasting. I'm going to church and I'm this and I'm that's being entitled. So when God gives us the keys can be friends, family, a church. The keys can be discernment, faith, obedience. God is saying, let me test your faith. Let me see if you'll obey me with the little. Let me see if you will, if I give you 2 followers, if you'll still show up when there's no followers, when there's nobody online looking at you, when there's only 5 people standing. If, even if nobody came through these doors and it was me and my ministry, I still have people that are connected in other cities. Shout out to the virtual victors that are watching. Shout out to the rest of the Flawed and Free family. Some of them are in Georgia. Some of them are in North Carolina. This is their house. So I could say, well, Dallas didn't show up, but who cares? Who did God call you to? Even if it's just you and him in the room, is he not enough? Is he not enough to clap your hands and stomp your feet and rate and give him praise? If ain't not a whole room full of people, I've seen ministers, apostles, and pastors and prophets, and I've heard this, and I hate it. I just roll my eyes. I've had people pull out of events because not enough people were signed up, because there wasn't enough people in the room. And these are the conversations I've been in the midst of. And I've heard people say, like, they want to know how many people going to be there. How many tickets did you sell? This, that, and the third. Because, and I've heard them say this in verbatim. I don't want to preach to an empty room. I was clutching my pearls. I was like, now who are we doing this for? Wow. And this is some of y'all favorites. Baby, I didn't been in the room. They didn't know halfway who I was. Serving. A whole apostle. I ain't walking up to people, hello, my name is Tina. That's the name that God gave me. I don't have to lead in my title. I'm not bound by validity or acceptance or any of that. Now, I done had a whole lot of people tap some of my girls in the room and other settings and say, is she an apostle? And I didn't say a word. I'm sitting there minding my business. Because you don't have to, for doors to open in your life, you don't have to be the loudest one in the room. I just happen to be loud, period. This is just who I am, okay? But you don't have to tell people who you are. You want people to discern who you are. Seek who you are by the Spirit. Check you out in the Spirit. Because people lie. Men lie. People lie. But check you out. Go to the Holy Ghost. Who is she? He going to tell you if it's the Holy Spirit. He going to tell you. So we don't have to guess and wonder how doors will. All the doors that opened in my life came from one door. That was the door of my closet. This very place that we're standing in came through prayer. I didn't have to go search for it, look for it, put an ad out for it. None of that. The very space and the door that we walked through came because it came out of a place of consecration. It came out of a place of prayer. These women of God that are here right now, I didn't have a building. Some of them have been with me 3, 4, 5+ years. Okay? That came out of the Spirit. They carry my DNA. And we carry the DNA of God. You don't think they couldn't have went to a number of churches in Dallas? They said, we've been there already. We've been there. That ain't where it's at. We came here. This is what God said. This is where we at. To God be the glory. So sometimes God will open doors that don't look like doors that you think look profitable to you. They don't look from the outside looking in. Don't look like it's much. Don't look like. And they underestimated Jesus the same way. They said, how can a man from the Nazarene? Nothing good comes out of that. My God. The Savior of the world. They couldn't see. They couldn't discern that the Almighty God, the Savior of the world, was standing amongst them. Oh, that's Jesus of Nazarene. Some of you came from trailer parks. Some of you came from poverty. Some of you came from drug-addicted households. Some of you came from it doesn't matter what you came from. And you said, God can't use me. God can't send me. God, look where I came from. Lies. Lies. When God opens a door, he's opening a dimension of heaven. The door is not just for you to just gain access. But it's to move in a new dimension. Because doors are connected to traffic. Divine traffic, if it's a godly door. If it's a demonic door, it's ungodly traffic. So this is why you got to watch, even in the area of deliverance, the doors that are open in your life. Because are you opening the door to the enemy or are you opening the door to God? Because it depends on who the door is open to is what the type of traffic you'll see. Now, we see warfare because the enemy is always contending. We read the scripture. It said the adversary is there, right? So the enemy's always contending. But there comes a time where you have to start questioning even some of the people around you that proclaim to be Christians. And it's like, I think this is more than warfare. They call you when they in the time. Help, pray for me, help me, help me. Can you pray for me? Stop jumping in everybody's prayer circle to jump in and help them. Ask the Holy Spirit, what's going on? What am I jumping in on? Sis might have just came down from twirling from the pole the night before, for all you know. And you over here jumping in some warfare for her because of the door she got open. And you over here warring and stomping and chomping and all of this. And the devil coming for you because you became the intercessor and the mediator for the sin that they opened the door to, that they don't want to shut the door to. But because they know you have access. Watch those people that don't want no part of your Christianity, don't want no part of your faith, don't want no part of your 3-hour prayer, that don't want no part of your church, that don't want no part of nothing you got going on. But the minute they need or want something from God, they will try to connect to you so that you can open the door for them. And you will say, well, this is the godly thing to do. We must pray. But wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. You might be praying a warlock into a position. Yes, ma'am. You don't know. That's why you have to ask the Holy Spirit. Is this your door or is this another door? To gain access to me, to drain me of my virtue, to drain me of the things that I consecrated and prayed and poured and laid on the floor for. And you think you're just finna slide through and get some impartation and get me to lay hands on you and pray for you and tarry for you 2-3 hours, and then you're gonna go right back to what you was doing after I was done praying for you? I'm over here tired and wore out and fighting warfare for you, but you don't want to submit, you don't want to surrender, you don't want to, but I'm gonna take the hit for you. I think not. So as we go into gates and gateways, I think we talked enough about doors and portals the last 2 weeks. Gates are governmental places, and gates are a place in which you legislate. And so God will give you a door or open a door. But as a kingdom ambassador in the earth, you have to learn how to legislate your authority to open and partner with the gates of heaven. So spiritually, gates represent territorial control. And so we're in a season, even now, even this ministry, as the Lord is speaking to taking territory and to going into the places that God has given us to take dominion, so that we can break down the kingdom of darkness, so that we can destroy these demonic altars and rebuild the godly altars. And in order to do that, there is a process of taking control and gaining territory. And God only entrusts those with territory that he knows will govern it properly. And so the enemy seeks to possess those gates because he knows how powerful it is if he gains access to those gates. That means he gains territory that does not belong to him. And so there's territory in media, there's territory in culture, there's physical territory through different cities and states and regions. There's territory within your family, your bloodline. There's territory in business and systems. There's all different type of territorial functions, abilities that God's put you in the earth. And we're like, well, the world has secular music and they have the music and the media and they have, you know, the style they've gone through and styling, right? The makeup industry, no matter where, right? Where these things are, the devil is sitting there, seated on a throne somewhere. And so God might call you to open a hair business. God might call you to start a styling business. God might call you to children, right? To set the children free from their generational bondage and the things that they're coming up against. And so you become a gatekeeper. You become a gatekeeper. When you're not allowing God to make you a gatekeeper, then the gates remain open to the enemy. So we are the gatekeepers to our families. We are the gatekeepers to our communities. We are the gatekeepers to our churches. We are the gatekeepers to the nation. But the church is asleep and nobody is governing, nor are they legislating their authority in the earth so that they can take territory. How are we able to do this? First of all, you have to become a son of God. You have to know your sonship before you can operate in kingship, because kings decree and declare, kings legislate, kings govern. And so the Holy Spirit is a governor. He's the governor of the kingdom of heaven. And so that's why we must partner with the Holy Spirit to open these gates. So even when we have these corporate gatherings through church or through conferences, through intercessory, through prayer sessions, right? These things are because we are seeking to shift the gate authority. to let the devil know we own this city. We own Dallas. You don't. We do. And so we do this through opening the gates of righteousness. Because the gates of righteousness in Psalms 118 and 19, we read that last week. We are able to shut those demonic gates. And Christ Jesus is able to open the gates of righteousness. That's Psalms 118, 19. You can read through 21. And so as the gatekeeper of your family, that's what God is looking and desiring and seeking to see. The people of God opening the gates of righteousness so that we could dethrone these demonic gates and those that have control of the city. And this is spiritual warfare. So spiritual warfare comes in many ways. But in order to see heaven on earth, we have to be able to access heaven. But if you can't access heaven because you're not walking or partnering with the righteousness of God, then you're stuck in a legislative place that you have no authority. The doors aren't opening. The gates aren't opening. Because in order to access heaven, you're going to go through some spiritual warfare. Because there's some demons there that's got their hands on the gate. You got to get their hands out of the gate. But legislating the kingdom authority and enforcing kingdom verdicts is how we take hold of the territory to open the gates of the city, to open the gates of your ministry, your business, your family, to open the gates. So we have to engage in spiritual warfare. We have to participate. We have to be contributors. It's not just enough to sit, sow a seed, and read your Bible. In order for the right doors to open, we have to be obedient. We have to take time to be intercessors, not just influencers. Intercessors, weeping, crying, and engaging these heavenly portals. And we engage these portals through worship, aligning with God, taking authority at the gates, decreeing righteousness, legislating the word. I literally just recently said to a couple of people, and I said, you know what? I'm tired of talking. You know how as a mother, you tell your child, sit down, sit down, sit down, put that down. Put that down. Put that over here. Put that over there. Put that over there. And it's like, I'm talking, but ain't nobody listening. I told these few people, I said, I'm going to stop talking. And I'm going to start letting the Lord talk. And what that looked like to me, I'm going to just start quoting scriptures. At the store, at my job, this is my job, but you know, wherever in the church, within the ministry, people go, do you want us to go over here? I'm going to start speaking like Jesus in parables. I'm going to start quoting scriptures, and I need you to go figure out what that means. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, not me, right? You go figure that out after I get through with this scripture, Matthew 6:33. I just asked you where to put this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. Why? Because we're asking questions to things we already got the answer to. But if we would just seek him first, then the doors that we're looking to open or be answered would be answered if we just went to the source. Just like that. I said, the saints ain't listening. Maybe they'll listen to him. I'm going to start quoting scriptures and walking away. Right? So I said it being funny, but the word is infallible. The word is immovable. The word stands. And the word carries weight. And the word gives you access. So whether I got the answer or not, whether I know the door or not, whether I have the resource or not, he does. And his word will not return back to us void. So we must come to a place that we are daily surrendering to dominion, to the dominion that God has given us. For as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8. We have now become co-heirs to the kingdom. So we have what he have. We say what he says. We can do what he does. Matter of fact, even greater, because he said in the latter, there will be greater works we shall do. Greater we shall do than even he did. So the Holy Spirit is the one that governs and covers and opens the doors and seals those portals and establishes us, me, you, as gatekeepers in the earth, gatekeepers of righteousness. So when we align with the Holy Spirit and we stand on the word of God and we legislate that word, we decree that word in the earth, it shall be so. We shift from surviving and we go into a legislative authority. Because what God said stands, and it ain't gonna change. We go from warfare to rulership. Taking dominion over the thing that's trying to take over you. But when you stand on that word, and you legislate that word, and you move in the power of the Holy Ghost in his authority, I don't care what's coming through that door. It ain't gonna be able to do nothing to you. It can try, but it won't be able to touch you. And I could give you a 10-step plan or a 5-step plan, but it ain't gonna work till you legislate that law, that word. And you stand on that word that I shall live and not die. I will listen, the angel of death could be standing in front of you. But when you stand on that word and say, I shall live and not die in the name of Jesus, there's nothing the devil can do. So we don't have time to move in emotions. We don't have time to be tossed to and fro. We don't have time to be standing in this person's opinion and that person's opinion and this person's debating, that person's debating who's right and who's wrong, who's more theologically sound, and is it in Hebrew or Aramaic, or is it right? All of these things do matter. It comes to understanding the word of God, the wisdom of God, the sound doctrine of God. So all things work together for the good of those that love God. But nonetheless, we're not going to sit here and fight and argue. That ain't God. That ain't God. I'm more holier than you. My this, my that. You can't give me prophecy. I'm a prophet of God. You can't say this to me. You can't. Like, this is fool-a-la. This is foolishness. Shouldn't we all be seeking the Spirit of God, the lover of our souls? What difference does your opinion make? Your experience make? Does it matter? What does the word say? What does God say? This Charlie Kirk thing. I've heard about his racist or so-called beliefs or this or that. At the end of the day, he's still a child of God. How do you celebrate murder? That's demonic. There's no way to flip or flop that. Well, he did this and he said that. Well, what did you do last night? What did you do last week? What did you do last month? That don't mean I'm rocking with the man. I didn't even hardly know the man, if I could be honest, before it all went down. But in my mind, I'm saying to myself, like, this is demonic. And all of the Christians, the apostles, the pastors, the people that was like, well, you know, yes. But this was an attack. Whoever opened the door, however the door was opened, whether it was through his disobedience, whether it was through his unrepentance, whatever it was, at the end of the day, he was a target for the enemy. Obviously, he died prematurely. He had not fulfilled his purpose. There was probably still time for him to repent if he did whatever he said, whatever he did. But the enemy wanted to take him out. Just like he wanted to take you out. You don't want to leave here today Because it could be your last day. It could be. I'm sure Charlie Kirk had no idea when he went to that event that that was his last day, that he would not make it out of there to see his family. I'm sure when you get in your car every day, going to Kroger, going to the grocery store, you don't believe that it'll be or it could be the last moment. This is why we don't have time to play these games. We don't have time. The kingdom of God is not futuristic. The kingdom is now. The kingdom is here. The King of glory is here. Take hold of what he has and who he is now. You don't have time. People, oh, I'm going to serve God when I get 60. I'm going to wait till I get all this up out of me. I'm going to, you know, I got one more night with this man. I got one more. A whole lot of people thought they had one more. And it didn't happen. So I just want to encourage you today that as you go home and pray, as you partner with the word, as you glean in his presence, as you allow the portals to open up over you and the heavens to open up, that you begin to legislate and govern that word. Stand on that word, even if you don't believe it. You better decree it until you believe it. Stand on that thing. Said, I can't see it yet, but God, I believe you. I stand on this word until the gates open. Until you give me access, I'm going to pray, I'm going to war, I'm going to read, I'm going to study, I'm going to lay at your feet. And you know what? I'm going to enjoy this time. I'm not going to war and wait in vain. I'm not going to sit here and, well, until you bless me, then I ain't going to be happy until that day. Get happy now. Bless him now. Thank him now. Rejoice now. Now, because the kingdom has come. The kingdom is here. Your breakthrough is here. You're not waiting on the day. The day is here. Take hold of that thing today. Say, today is the last day. Today is the last day. Something go bad in your day? You speak to the enemy and you say, hey, guess what? Tomorrow, I will not see this. Not another day. I will not see that. Not another day. I forbid it. I forbid it in Jesus' name. I forbid you from destroying my mind. I forbid you from causing chaos in my home. I forbid you. I forbid you. You got to start. And say, listen, not please leave me alone. You're going to die today. You're going to catch this fire today. You're going to catch it today. I'm going to make you think about coming back to that door. Whatever your address is, call out your address in prayer. The next time you come to this door, let me tell you what's going to happen to you. Let me just go on and lay it on out there for you. I'm setting traps and bombs and fire and all sorts of stuff that when you get close to my door, you're going to think twice. Because I done laid trap after trap after trap after trap. Just because you trying it. He going to have to come stronger and harder. And guess what God does? He comes stronger and harder. He comes stronger and harder. Harder. Amen. 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 I want to speak to your spirit today. That today you receive access. Today you receive access. Today you receive authority. Today you receive alignment, that the heavenly portals of God over your life are open. That every heavenly portal, every heavenly door, that God has given you the keys to access everything that's in heaven. in the earth, that the strategies are coming. The divine downloads are here. The blueprints are ready. The promise has come. That healing is flowing. And we are taking the keys. Every key that you've seen in the realm of the spirit, we are unlocking every door that's due us right now in this season. We are taking those keys. We're unlocking those divine doors. We're pulling down heaven's gates. We are pulling down everything in heaven into the earth. We are open heavenly portals. We are possessing the gates of influence. Sebakoshatai. We decree that heaven come. Heaven come, heaven come, kingdom come, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, that the will of God take precedence and priority, that his presence, that we seek his presence more than we seek his hand, more than what he can just do for us. But God, what can we do for you? God, how can we be vessels for you in the earth? How can we be your ambassadors? How can we speak for you in the earth? How can we legislate your word in the earth? How can we outreach and how can we call the souls that are lost back into your kingdom? How can I be of service? How can we allow ourselves to become vessels for your glory? We want to carry your glory. We want to carry your glory. We want to be your glory carriers in the earth, that where darkness is, it cannot remain. Because when you enter the room, light just dispels the darkness. People don't know who you are, why you there. But they know they was feeling a little depressed. They was feeling a little off. They was feeling a little weird. But until you came and sat next to them, that they felt the light of the Lord just in your presence. Because when God enters a room, his presence shifts. And if you are a carrier of his glory, you should be carrying his love, his power, and his presence everywhere you go. You should be opening doors, walking under open heavens. Blessings should be chasing you down and overtaking you. We shouldn't be begging and pleading for the bills to be paid. We are kings. Our daddy is rich. That's not the posture of a king. So, Father, we just thank you, God, for being who you are. We thank you, God, that with every day that you give us, Father, that we don't waste away the time, that we don't let the time go in vain, Father. That we check our hearts when our hearts are dissynchronous to your heart. When we are out of alignment with you, God. Father, that we will seek your face. That even when the correction gets hard, even when the rebukes feel as if we are just far from you, draw us closer to you, God. Draw us closer to your presence. Draw us closer to your will. Draw us closer that we would just desire you. That God, we will desire you even above our own selves. That we will desire you, Father, in the morning, in the noon, in the night. That, Father, that we're just so excited to lay down at night so we can see you again when we wake back up. That even sleep is too long. Even going to bed at night is just too long. That, God, I want you to visit me in my sleep. I want you to visit me in my dreams, God. God, I want you to lay with me in this hour. God, I'm feeling heartbroken. God, I don't know what to do. God, God, you've given me a vision. I don't know how to carry it out. I don't know where the provision is coming from. God, help me be a better mother. God, help me be a better friend. God, help me be a better leader. God, help me to be a better servant. God, it is my duty and my due diligence to serve you with my whole heart. God, I surrender my heart to you. I surrender my heart to you. I surrender my mind to you. I surrender my mind, my movement. I surrender, Father God, my life, my friendships. I surrender everything to you. That apart from you, I can do nothing. Apart from you, I have nothing. What else is there to do if you're not with me? What else is there to go if you're not there? What else is there to have if you didn't give it to me? This is how we see the kingdom of heaven manifest in the earth. Because his will is to see you prosperous. His will is to see you healed. His will is to see you delivered. His will is to see you whole. His will is to see you abundant. And his will is to see you happy. His will is to see you joyous. His will is to see you at peace. That's God's will. You don't have to guess that. You don't have to ask for that. Because it's his desire, it is his will. All you have to do is seek him for it. Get out of the books, get out of YouTube, get out of your social media scroll, and get in the face of the Father. God, I need more of your peace. I need more of your love. I need more of your joy. Father, I need more of your grace. God, I need more of your mercy. God, I need more of your favor. God, I need more of you, God. More of you is not enough. What I have is not enough. Pour more, God. Give me more, God. Give me more, God. More of you. 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 That is our hope. That is our desire, that we have more of him, less of you and more of him, less of you and more of him. That's how you carry the glory. That's how you move in power. That's how you manifest his will in the earth. More of him. You say more, Lord. Say more, say more, say more, say more. More, more, more. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh God, we thank you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the peace. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your love. Thank you. Thank you, Father, that no matter where we are, you are meeting us right where we are. That we don't even have to really chase after you, because you are chasing after us. We just got to be still so he can catch us. You running from God? He's chasing after you. He said, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still, but you're so busy. You're so busy. You can't hear him. You can't see him. You can't feel him. Be still. He'll come after you. He'll meet you right where you are, right in the midst of your confusion, right in the midst of your pain, right in the midst of your I don't knows, right in the midst of your rebellion, right in the midst of your abandonment, right in the midst of your rejection, right in the midst of your mess. Right in the midst, my God, you ain't got to clean yourself up. That's religion that'll tell you, I got to get myself together before I come to church. I got to get myself together before I do this. I got to make sure I got enough money before I start this. I got to make sure I got the right equipment before I go here, before I go there. God said, just be still. Exercise your right as a child of God. Be a child. Be a child. Your children don't worry about how they're going to get fed every day. They don't worry about what's cooking on the stove. They don't worry about what's in that Kroger bag. They don't worry about if the light's going to cut on when they cut the lights on. They don't worry about if there's water or food to eat or drink. That's how God wants us to be. God wants us to be so childlike that we seek him for everything. God, I need you to breathe. God, I need you to feed me today. God, I need you to pour. God, I need a hug today. God, I need your love. God, I need your help. God wants us to be so childlike. Because he basks in that. His grace is sufficient. My child, my daughter, from whom I'm well pleased, need everything you need. You don't have to want for nothing. Ain't nothing missing, ain't nothing broke, ain't nothing late, ain't nothing lacking, ain't nothing hurting, ain't nothing, there's nothing that you can't get from me because I got the whole world in my hands. Nothing moves unless I say it moves. The power of God. Will you yield to his power? Will you yield to his throne? Will you cast your crown? Will you come off of your high horse and pedestal? Will you come out of that pride? Will you come out of who you are and come into who he is? God, I want to know more of you, even when I don't know who I am. But because you created me, God, I believe that you didn't create and make no mess, God. I believe that I'm something. I'm somebody. Even if I don't know what that something is, even if I don't know who I am in the earth or what I'm called to do or where I'm supposed to go, because you know all things, because you are the all-knowing, the almighty God. Father, you created me and you made me. Father God, you trusted me in the earth to carry your glory, to be your child, to be a voice in the earth. You trusted me, oh God, to breathe the very breath that's in my lungs right now. And because you trust me, I trust you. I don't care if you want me to be a trash collector. I don't care if you want me to be a servant. I don't care if you want me to be a pastor or a preacher. That whatever you put me here to do, I don't want to leave until it's done. And whatever I got to do, turn my plate down. Walk away from relationships. Go places I don't want to go. Spend time I don't want to spend. That I'm willing to do that for you because of what you've done for me. What you've done for me. It's the very least that I can do. It's just to say yes. It's already done. The work is done. The house is built. The blessings are already stored up for you. In your storehouses, God, the gifts are already inside of you. Everything you need to carry out what you're supposed to do, you already have. You ain't got to beg, plead, borrow. All you got to do is be still, ask, seek, knock. The door will open. The gifts will be activated. Trust that they're there. Trust by faith. Be obedient. Be still and wait. Father, we thank you. And we even repent, Father, for the times that we didn't trust you. For the areas of our heart that we kept to ourselves. The times that we just took back what you gave to us because we thought we could do it better. The times that we didn't wait on you and we went ahead of you because we thought that our plan was better than your plan. The time that we got impatient with our process because we thought that we were in a season too long and we wanted to skip through and skip past the process. Father, forgive us. Forgive us. Forgive us. We give all things back to you. And we wait upon you to speak, to move, and we yield our will unto yours. And we say, have your way, God. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Just find a song to close out to. Oh, we thank you. As you leave here today, take this word with you. Not just keep it in your journal, not just keep the notes there, but use it. Speak it, decree it, declare it. Watch your life change. Watch your life begin to change. Because that's what we're here to do. We're change agents. We're here to change this world, to bring and show people who he is in us. That's what we're here to do. Glory be to God. Thank you for listening and allowing us to be a part of your spiritual journey and growth in Christ. Listen to fresh new episodes weekly on Wednesdays to be equipped with the tools, knowledge, and strategies needed to dispossess the enemy, take dominion, and be delivered into the promises of God. No more wilderness wanderings, warriors. Walk in your purpose and discover your identity where you are free to be me, flawed and free. If you were blessed and empowered by today's show, we would appreciate your sown seed of support through donations and charitable giving as led by the Holy Spirit. You can go now to theflawedandfree.com/give. That's theflawedandfree.com/give. Or you can Cash App us at $flawedfree. On Cash App. We are a nonprofit organization with a 501c3 designation. So all gifts, donations, and sown seeds of support that are given are also tax deductible. Thank you for your seed, for we know that it is placed in good soil, and we pray that you agree. So God bless and live your best life in Christ. Love you later. Till next time.